talks. Nobody talks. Nobody talks. Shidduchim.
This is the Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast.
Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast. 62 smoking vices and the real madmen of Shidduchim. I am here today. Avery is joining us. Avery, thank you for coming. Yeah, okay, no, I can do it again. We have Ahuva, Avery, and I are happy to welcome Ahuva Shandelman, a.k.a. Holy Shid, is back. Ahuva, thanks for coming on again.
Oh, my God, thanks for having
me. And this time, the entire Shid and NTS Shid world, you know, they were demanding, bring her back and give her the whole episode from the other episode. And that's what we're doing now. We're giving you the platform here, so... That's it. We had a lot of other guests who were requested to come on, and we said, no. We owe it to our followers. So.
Wow. Pressure's feel, on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Feel very, very honored. Okay. So we're going to talk about smoking, vices, real madmen of Shidduchim right after this break.
Hi, it's Chani from the Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast. Dating sites are a bit technical and so tedious to operate. Now there's an all-new way to get access to Shidduch resumes and meet that special somebody. The Shidduchim group on WhatsApp by Shadchan Shifi has hundreds of guys and girls' resumes posted to it. Resumes are posted, and you can contact whoever posted that resume if you're interested in going out with that person. The group has dozens of matches made every week. To join the group, WhatsApp 443-333-7363 to join the Shidduchim WhatsApp group. By Shadchan Shifi.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right. I'm sorry. I think this is 62, no?
You'll have to edit that.
62, right? 62. Mm-hmm. We're actually at episode 62. And this episode, you know, Avery and I are going to discuss with the gang. There's no gang, it's just a Hoover now. We're talking about smoking and vices, right? The year is 2022, and you can smoke pot, but not a cigarette, right? You can have a cigar, but not a cigarette. You can eat unhealthy kugel and chullent. That will kill you. It'll give you a heart attack. That's going to give you body shame. But you can, you can't vape. That's not acceptable, especially around young children. So it's abundantly clear that our society has taken this drastic measures and changes on vices that what we used to indulge in. We used to indulge in this. You know, if you watch those old TV shows, everyone's smoking a cigarette. Everyone's, you know, doing something that you can't do today. They're drinking, right? So what's the gals and guys, what's the therapist's perspective on this? And that's what we're going to get into today with Ahuva. So a lot, lots. I have so much to say, but Avery.
In context of Shidduchim, right, that's the conversation we're having. All these things. Smoking, drinking.
Only in that context, yeah. Drugs. That's the show. That's the show. We're not, we're not like getting into the
scientific. Philosophical, scientific.
The vaccine
people.
Stuff. No, it's not.
Should you
not
be doing it? So within context of Shidduchim and Shidduch dating, right, people, you normally, right, and the vast majority of people, I like saying that, who do Shidduch date, have smoking down, right, girls especially, that I know of has smoking down as one of the criteria of the type of person that they won't date. This is my experience. I know I've been asked by girls, by shadchanim, do you smoke in the past? Do you vape? Do you, does he drink? Do I go to kiddushes? You know, and
you're like, yeah, I'm normal. And I, of course I do that.
No, I don't do it myself. I personally, I don't smoke. I don't I don't really
drink. You went to the Kiddush.
I don't drink that much. Like, I'll drink socially.
You're well here or there.
Yeah, in that sense and that type of stuff. But, like, at the same time, like, I always thought about it, like, that wasn't the way I took out my anxiety and my stressors. You know, I always did it in a different way. I play basketball. You know, I go to the gym. You know, I work.
But is that fair to say? Ahuva, is that fair to say
yeah.
that, oh, it's just anxiety-driven and nerve-driven and stress-driven? Is that fair to say?
No, it's not fair yeah. to say.
Shame on you, Avery. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's I'm not saying it's just driven based off of anxiety and stress. It comes from many things. It comes from peer pressure.
Well,
I think that we have a lot of cultural, you know, norms, you know, where things that happen within our culture, if you take a step out and look in, you're like, whoa, what's going on? Kiddush Club might be one of them. The way men will drink in front of their own children, you know, the way people get be passed out in shul, like in a hallway.
Right.
Like my husband has come home from shul and be like, oh my God, I went upstairs
smoking
to check something and Mr. Whoever was plastered Friday night during davening in the women's section. Mm-hmm. Why? So I see that snapshot as very different than somebody enjoying a shot or two at Kiddush with people over their chalent.
Mm-hmm.
I see that very different culturally.
Right. Okay. So should that preclude someone from like getting a date with someone else? Say they have they're drinkers, they're smokers, and that is something that's been done in their generational pastime, right? Other cultures have this as well.
Yeah.
Irish people are known for, you know, their Thursday morning and Saturday morning drunk coffees, Irish whiskeys and Irish coffee, all these things. Like it's a cultural, it's something that's been passed down into the from culture.
Yeah.
Mostly modern yeshivish culture.
So what's the fear? They're asking, okay, when people ask a lot of questions in Shidduchim, they want to rule out things that would point to a long-term relationship not working out. Mm-hmm. So when they're asking, does he drink? Does he smoke? Does he get high? Basically, they're generalizing a addictive behavior, and they're saying that any form of that behavior could lead to that bad type of behavior that would interrupt a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not true. Like, you can ask about a girl. Is she high maintenance? Oh, I always hear that. What do the guys want to know? What are they scared of? They're scared that the girl's spending habits are going to interrupt the peace and harmony of their long-term relationship by getting in the way of their financials.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know if they're taking on something that long-term not going to work out. So I think it's like these nitpicky questions that don't really get to the core of who a person are fear-based. And you can't really know. You're not going to know what you're not supposed to know. Right? Which brings me, you know, I did go live with Mr. Shid like twice in my life. Yes. And one of them was about this.
Yes.
I would not have
dated Mr. Shid, for those of the our listeners who don't know who that is.
My husband.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Mr. Shid.
So I didn't know that he used to smoke. I didn't even think to ask. I wasn't a resume picker. Like, I was 24 looking to get married. And I didn't know that he smoked until after we got married. I had no idea. I probably would have said no because I'm grossed out of the idea of like kissing a smoker. It just grosses me out.
And he was like a real smoker, or was he just someone who liked to indulge in, you know, the occasional, more than occasional cigarette?
No, I think it was like a daily thing.
It was a daily thing.
I can't even close my eyes and imagine him buying a pack of cigarettes or holding a pack of cigarettes in his hands. I've never seen it.
Wow.
I can't imagine him having a cigarette between his fingers.
Is that the way out? Is that the way, just to keep it quiet and secret and just not to tell them or not make a big deal about it?
I don't know. It worked for us. I don't think deception is great.
Yeah.
I had no idea, and he hasn't picked up a cigarette since he met me. So it worked out.
Yeah.
But what are people thinking? Like, I don't want to marry a smoker. Does it gross them out? Are they not attracted to that? Do they not want their house and their cars and their clothing to constantly be smelling of smoke? Mm-hmm. Are they concerned about their long-term health? Do they not want to be widowed at a young age? Do they want their children to have a father into old age? Obviously, yeah. We can't guarantee any of that because life can happen. But I do think that when in Shidduchim, tell me what you think, people are asking this out of fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to try to rule out everything that could potentially show up later on and cause pain.
I would take it in just the opposite way. Like if you don't have a vice, if you don't have an apparent, meaning like a clear vice that you show to the world, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? There's something. You're not Mr. Perfect, you know, or she's not Miss Perfect. So a guy who's, you know, he's able to drink, he's able to smoke, like we know that bro's problem. Like, all right, like we see it, you know, it's there, whatever, but he's treating it. He like clearly there's something that maybe we can do for him. But someone who's not like, oh, get that stuff away from me. Oh, I don't want to be around that person because like, I don't know. Like, so what is your thing? Like, are you going to abuse your wife?
Right. Well,
are you going to beat your kids? Do you just
is abuse get thrives?
Advice? Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah. Like, who knows? Or like maybe he just like, you know, goes to the pizza shop late at night and just like pounds a box of pizza, you know, and
so
no
you're
one
saying
knows.
If you're not out in the open about the things you enjoy.
Yeah.
Then you're closeted.
Yeah. Closeted. And you know what? I think a lot of Gen Zers will relate to that. And I think and millennials would also like lower and you know younger millennials.
What I'll go back to you know my yeshiva days, IJ, on this the younger days is to think about the personalities and the characters of the people generally who were the smokers, who were you know doing drugs, who were using those vices at an earlier age, who were vaping, who were drinking. And those kids were always, in my mind, associated with somebody who's, you know, rule like breaking the rules.
Yeah. Bad
who's
guy.
Not following
a bad guy.
Along the path that the more, you know, properly behaved and mannered kids would have done. You know, that's where my line of thinking would have been, you know, or at least was, you know, despite them, you know, having more experiences. But that's where my line of thinking was. And then... You know, so that's why I don't necessarily think that that's the correct way to look at things anymore, right? I don't think there's really anything wrong with these kids having had experiences back then,
yeah,
as long
it's
as it doesn't
age appropriate. Actually,
yeah, like if anything,
that's
it's,
when it should happen,
right? If anything, you should be doing that, right?
And it's I'm a not saying you should be doing that, but that's the appropriate age for exploration.
Yeah,
right.
So I think that a lot of people like stay the course, and then all of a sudden they're married and. You know, with a kid or two, and then they're like doing those things then when it's just like not as appropriate. I don't know if that's the right word for being the man of a house, to be responsible for children, to have a wife at home, to be holding down a job. That becomes problematic. So if I hear of a guy that, you know, oh yeah, he was sort of like, you know, doing his thing in yeshiva, but really, you know, really menched out.
Right.
I'm into that.
I think there is still a problem with it, though. I really do. I think that the problem is that these people who have those, you know, they use smoking, drinking, and whatever as the substances, right, at the younger age to be their, you know, addiction for the time being, right, while they're younger, they end up, you know, flipping out or not flipping out, whatever, and then immediately those are the kids who end up in relationships. Right, with girls. A lot of times this happens. I know many people like this, right? They end up in relationships when they're 19, 20, 21, 22 because they flip out, they're in yeshiva, and they don't have those vices anymore to use, and they end up in relationships that become their addiction. And they end up in addictive relationships with women. And I've seen it firsthand. Like, and then they end up abusing them, like they abused drugs, cigarettes, alcohol. And I think that's another problem that we have in the firm community where we have this extreme 180 on these kids. And you think, oh, wow, what a kid. Like he really
The cycle starts again.
Right. And it creates this new cycle. And I think I see it with not my parents' generation, but maybe a little bit younger than that a lot of parents who were, you know, alcoholics or just, you know, verbally abusive and, you know, just were in bad relationships or the type of people that had that pattern happen to them.
Interesting. As kids. When you say abusive relationships, do you mean like codependent? Like they're utilizing mm-hmm. their relationship with their spouse in yeah. a way that they would have used alcohol, smoking, weed?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Many times you'll see it with guys in particular. Like they'll use their wife as like a sort of a model, a trophy. Like they
trophy
use and abuse. Like you can't use it too much. Like they won't have any separation mm-hmm. is what,
like
I, what
the,
I've seen.
The spouse is there for their benefit.
Essentially, yeah.
For their use, for right. their pleasure. For their
exactly.
benefit.
Like you have to be part of my, you know, my business operation. You have to, you know, you have to come to all of our, you know, parties or
you're,
you know, something
you're an
like
accessory
that.
To my life.
Essentially.
And that, yeah. well, that's what the vice was, right? Like, yeah. As I think you have a very keen insight on that. And basically the premise would be, yeah, you have a bunch of guys and you know, mm-hmm. mostly guys in this sense. And that's what, you know, it's a real madman of Shidduchim here. But mostly guys, they're smoking, they're drinking, they're doing some kind of drugs. So they have this vice. This is how they release themselves. And then they get married. And for whatever the reasons are, they have to give it up because that's, for some reason, that's the problem in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of actually working on whatever trauma or problems they've had, they just blame, oh, it's the cigarette, it's the beer, right. it's the kiddish club. And what happens is that they stop that, it makes them worse, and all they do is, you know, just scream at the wife,
or they force
smack
their
around
kids,
the kids.
Or they do it to the kids, like
and
they
just start the circle
right.
over. Right,
you know, the it's kid that, has to be. You know, they turn their kids. They turn to helicopter parents. Also, mm-hmm. what I've seen too, like it's they turn to like their parent. Their kids are have to get the best grades, and they're all over yeah. them
oh,
doing
God,
their homework,
yes.
and they're all over yeah. everything.
I want to just differentiate. So, okay, yeah. I think that what teenagers do is not necessarily indicative of them becoming addicts mm-hmm. in the future. I think that's it's good. Very developmentally appropriate for teenagers to be curious and want to try things and not necessarily because their life is so bad. Because it's available, because mm-hmm. it's social, because okay. I saw it, I heard about it, everyone's doing it. It's socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. Again, in our circles, in the yeshiva world, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. But in outside the Jewish community, a high school kid that smokes
oh,
up
yeah.
behind the bleachers is not necessarily going to be a drug addict.
It's normal. It's normal.
It's part
Let
of growing up.
Let the kid have
up.
Fun. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to differentiate between kids, teenagers, you know, having these types of experiences for the first time and behavior that's indicative of an addictive personality. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Which is what you were just talking about, IJ. Alcohol, smoking, sex, porn, shopping is not the problem. It's the cure to another problem that becomes a new problem. So you take away those things, you're not better.
Yeah.
You just are left with your problem.
Yeah.
So then what happens? Do you deal with your problem or do you find the next thing to keep you from facing your problem?
Mm. Yeah, you find, yeah.
And I think that's the fear. That's the fear in Shidduchim.
Can you say that there's always going to be some other problem that comes up? It, with not just in Shidduchim, like, you know, for example, somebody who's in Shidduchim and used to smoke, gave it up, right? His next problem is now he's, you know, full-time attorney. He's working 120 hours a week. That's his new form of addiction. Like, he still has to figure out how to balance life with all the other, you know, the Jewish stuff. Or somebody who's in yeshiva, who's a serious learner, right? I'm not calling people in yeshiva or in Lakewood addicts, but in some way, there is this addiction to, like, learning, which, like, sometimes can supersede reality, or, like, you're learning to the point where, like, you don't realize that there is a world going on. Like, hold on a second. Like, you know, people will learn to the point, like, maybe their wife is literally carrying their entire household
mm-hmm.
and they're oblivious
yeah.
entirely. So
learning and, by the way, working at times can be a very, like, kosherized you know, socially acceptable types of addiction.
Yeah.
It totally is. He works hard. He's, you know, trying to make a partner.
Right.
Or he,
and we know, by the way, us singles, when we go to the, you know, we go over there for Shabbos or whatever, and like the wife tells us that, we know what your face is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he can be home more, mm-hmm. but, you know, mm-hmm. he's not.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what it is.
And let's you know, we could talk about the women too. I think that sometimes dieting and fitness also become
addictive. That could be the equivalence. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
That could be so true. What you do to not confront what's really going on,
right.
What the problem is.
Yeah.
You just control, you deprive, you keep moving, you stick to your
regimen. Sad. We have like a lot of, you know, children getting married and like they stay like a child up here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just what it is. Like they just can't get to solving those problems.
Well, maybe they were never invited into adulthood by a healthy person, healthy mentor, coach.
And
teacher.
I'm rooting for the couple. Like I hope you two could do it, you know?
And by the way, some couples are very happy that they each have their vice.
Yeah.
You do you, I do me.
Oh,
we'll
I love
meet
those.
Home.
Can we talk more about those people? Oh,
yeah, what do you want to know about these people?
Well, how do you get to that
where
point?
They exist?
They're everywhere. Where do they not exist?
I feel
you
like
don't
it's.
See a
I tell
world
you what. I feel like
that?
I feel like the only people and I'll be very like candid here. Like it's basically the heavy smoking drug addict guys who have that open mind, and it's probably girls who just can't get a shidduch date for their life. Who that's who's open minded. Is it? Do I have that correct? I mean that's what. The notion would be out there, no? Avery, no?
Why would that be?
Wow. Who's met an amazing person, I mean, aside from myself?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, yeah, if she smokes, no worry. It's all good. Or like, if she has a shopping addiction,
mm-hmm.
it's all good. Don't worry about it. I
know guys
her.
That want that. They want that. They want that trophy wife. They want that accessory to what they're doing. And that
I don't mind
right.
it.
It wouldn't bother them. Meaning
it doesn't
like,
bother
yeah,
them.
It doesn't.
They'll make the money to cover it. Let her do her. She'll bother me less. She's happy with, you know, the new wardrobe, the new belt, the new bag.
It wouldn't work for you and
easy.
I. But it's easy
if you don't want to have an intimate relationship.
Same thing with the workaholic.
Very easy. Mm-hmm.
The female workaholic. Somebody who's, you know, we went to Shabbaton a month or two ago. And I would say like, a third of the girls were in like medical school or like a very serious professional school looking for a very serious professional degree. And that works for a lot of guys. It wouldn't work for a guy like myself or
I think it works for very little guys.
Well,
there,
I guess.
I don't think.
Well, it works for some guys, but it wouldn't work for me because like, you know, like obviously I'm looking, not obviously, but it's just not the type of personality within a girl that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for someone who's going to spend that much time at work. Because I'd rather have somebody who's available to actually, you know, parent their children when they have the time. But that's another form of addiction and
possibly. Okay, let's put it out there because I'm sure
not,
like
but girls are addicted to studying.
Yeah, I'm sure some of our listeners want to like crawl through their iPhones and just like rip our heads off right now. So let's make a differentiation.
I think they will.
Yeah.
I once heard this. I wish I remember where so I can quote it, but maybe people will comment. With vices, a great question to ask is it a treat or a treatment? Are you doing it because you enjoy it and it feels good and it's pleasurable, which is a healthy part of life to have pleasure? Or are you doing it to quiet something else or to avoid confronting something else? So the same behavior from two people, one could be adaptive and one can be maladaptive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say anyone who goes to medical school, that's another addictive behavior to not. Blah, 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 blah. Honestly, I'll give you another example.
Hold on. I disagree because I think it comes from a place. How many girls in general? Where does it come from? Where are from Jewish girls going to medical school? Where's the idea of them going to medical school coming from? It's coming from that fear, right? That they need to make a certain amount of money. Not now.
What? That's the last place I go to make money.
Lawyers, female lawyers. Where does that come from? Jewish female lawyers.
It's hot.
Maybe medical school.
Well, what about like an accountant, right? Accountant, like, you know,
Jewish female
accountant.
Jewish female lawyers.
Right. Some kind of
it comes from
protection.
The fear of having to have a stable, solid career.
So Avery's basically making this argument that
that's my
it doesn't just begin
not every at case,
cigarettes and you know wine, right? Yeah. But it kind of like it's fomented from what degree you want to go for, what where you want to study, what do you want to work as? Like it even begins from there.
But I disagree with you, Avery. I know.
I think that's a vice also. Yeah, I would say it is.
What if there's a girl who had cancer as a child, and they said, "I'm gonna
no, that's fine." And we're not talking about those.
But I'm just saying, is that addiction based? Is that financially based?
Well, what about
no? That's not. But that's. I think the general. I'm generalizing, obviously.
Okay.
And I think generally in our community, you know, the careers we take are based off of fear, based because of tuition prices, because of cost of living, because of those things. And I think that's the reason we end up,
so you know,
obviously
the
joke, Jewish doctor and lawyer accountants.
Yeah.
That's kind of why we end up like
that. Could be, or maybe like you're saying, a fear that a man won't take care of them. And maybe that's part of the reason why many girls are looking for guys that are, you know, well-educated or have great jobs, and they're going to turn away people that they feel won't be able to support them in that way. There's a lot of fear in dating. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't think that all professions, especially the way you're sort of.
I like the thought process. But let's bring it back to the vice, the some other topics we have here. But so true, by the way. I think it's a very good point, and I would agree with Avery 100%.
Like I really would. But yeah,
no, but
let's
it's good.
Disagree.
No, but yeah,
that's okay. We still
love you. I think it's very possible. I think I could have a client that comes, sits on my couch, and she's going to medical school, and it comes from a very fearful place. I agree with that.
Right.
That's I think it's always kind of that way. Yeah. No, the same thing with vices.
No, but we're not always coming. We're talking
from
majority. We're saying majority of shidduch daters out there, or at least, you know, the expatriates, the ex shidduch daters out there. That's who we're referencing, and people in shidduchim, basically everybody. Where, yeah, like you have no right to look at a guy who is struggling with smoking or drinking or whatever, and then say, well, that's a weak person. Shame on him. Whatever, give him a chance. Meanwhile, you're doing the exact same thing and just burying it in your books, burying it in the career, burying it in, you know, making your home a certain way, or burying it at some point. And we have the confirmation once they get married. It's like, oh, look.
Okay, can we talk about chesed volunteering? Well, I see this huge with the girls.
Oh, see, this is a bit, let's
huge
go ahead.
Huge with the
That's
girls.
That's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one last thing on that point, though. from before, like, naturally, a woman, you would think, and it was like this hundreds of years ago, right, that they were home taking care of their children, and that's sort of the natural inclination for a girl. And if they can do it, that would be their ideal. And you don't hear that from girls as much anymore. That's sort of why. Like, you don't hear that. You just hear that they just want career. And many times with these girls that I was referencing to, the Shabbatones, like, you would like to hear, and a guy would like to hear, that this is their number one. Like, okay, being a parent, that's your number one. Being a mother, you know, that's their main
job. But that means that they need to express to the girl that they are willing and able and competent enough to support that.
Yeah.
Fully.
Of course.
And to respect the woman equally
right
in that role.
Yeah.
Maybe even more. And I think that maybe part of why girls don't want to be stay-at-home moms is because that wasn't happening in the house.
Yeah, never.
That's true.
Why? You're spending my money all day? Yeah. No, I'm not spending it. I'm raising the children and we have expenses, or just not feeling as respected. Like, where's my dinner? Coming home. Where's my dinner?
Well, oh, yeah.
I just finished bath time, bedtime, had 17 tantrums, and I'm really sorry, but.
There's a lack of value.
So girls want to be valued.
Right.
So if they find a guy that would value, that would make them feel like a queen being at home with the children on that front, maybe things would be different.
But how do you break that? Well, I don't know. I agree in a very, you know, la la land kind of world, but no, realistic. I think at this point
why girls are going out to work.
Yeah. No, but they just want to like fill that void that they didn't get growing up, or that they saw, you know, that the mother or father didn't have, they didn't get. And that's, and then just, they're just looking, they just, they'll take whatever guy they can find to fill that void. So for example, yeah, like let's say that was a big issue. They, that this girl would come home and she'd get into a fight with her mother, whatever, food and clothes. And like now she just needs a guy to just cover that. Mm-hmm. I just need a rich guy or a guy who's not even rich, just spends the money. That this is, you know, after a few hundred girls, this is what I have to say about it.
Or the mother was put down because she didn't work.
Yeah, you know.
Thing. Yeah.
So
yeah.
But let's move on happened. From that because I want to get more into the vices here. But so you were saying chesed was a vice. I love that. You called it out. I'm so freaking happy. Tell us more.
You could always count on me.
That tell us more. That's so true.
And
that's
by the
so
way,
true.
I see this with married women too. But yes. We could talk about the singles and because we're talking about a dating scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see this with married women of all
most
ages.
Most guilty is them.
The throwing themselves into chesed project after chesed project.
You know, the house is burning down and the kids are messed up.
Totally.
But that's just even in marriage. But let's even say in dating. Yeah.
So in dating, I mean, so part of what you were saying, Avery, is like, a girl's natural inclination is to want to give and to nurture, right? So if you don't have a family yet and you don't have a husband yet, chesed opportunities, be it Chai Lifeline or I'm sure there's a million others that I'm not thinking of right now, is a great opportunity. Why not? You might have time and you might have talent and nurturing and love to give. Do chesed with it. It's amazing. But I have seen it cross a line where you're not facing certain things or you're numbing out by always being busy with the next chesed thing. Yeah. Overnights at hospitals, night after night.
Yeah.
I mean, I had somebody close to us, a guy actually, that was doing major, major stuff with a certain chesed organization. And we used to joke with him that he was married to this organization. It wasn't really a joke. Now, again, was it pleasurable and fun and a great place to put his extra time as a single guy? Yeah. Was it getting in the way of what he really wanted is the question. I think at a certain point it was.
Bingo.
That's when it becomes an addiction, when it's getting in the way of the things that you really, really want.
Bingo. How would you correlate that to something like drinking, smoking, whatever it may be? Because does that really get in the way? Like sometimes it might not. I mean, that's the difference, I think, with an actual real vice, a physical vice.
Yeah, it can get in the way. Like here's an example. Somebody pre-games before they go out.
That's Avery right over here. Biggest pre-gamer.
He's pre-gaming with his...
Only when I go out with you.
With his espresso.
Only with you.
Yeah.
Only with his...
pre-games to be able to like... I guess be more chill when,
unbriddled.
When they get right unbriddled. To get
to get
whoever
rid of the social anxiety
right?
and the nerves.
But then maybe they overdo it and can't even enjoy what they ended up going to because they were so tipsy or not feeling well or spent the night in the bathroom because they drank too much. Like
that got
in the way. What you really want is connection and to have a good time and to be social. And you were trying to use this vice, alcohol, to loosen up, to have a great time. And in the end, you spent the night in the bathroom. So it got in the way of what you really, really wanted. You have a problem on your hands, especially if this keeps happening over and over and over again. I'll tell you another example. I was in Barnea with a friend.
Nice place.
Favorite place.
Did you go because we spoke about it last time on the podcast?
Probably. Can we go after this?
Thanks
please
for the invite.
I need a pink lady. My vice, the pink lady at Barnea.
I'm the pink lady. Okay.
And
Mr. Shade should be listening.
Yeah, oh, he knows. So we're sitting outside, my friend and I, and we see the same three guys from a certain table getting up, I swear, every 10 minutes for a 5-minute smoke. Your smoking is getting in the way of you being able to sit down together. Maybe their wives are there, maybe other guys, and just enjoy a 2-hour dinner at a beautiful restaurant. You spent most of your night outside puffing.
In 30 degree weather.
Right.
Well, that's probably why they were going up, because their wives were at the table.
It could be.
I mean, here's the main, obviously. Like, everyone goes out to a restaurant. The first thing we all do, we go on Instagram. We show off. We're not enjoying the moment. We're taking videos and pictures and whatever. And we're with friends. And everyone does this to an extent.
Yeah, we're addicted to likes. We're addicted to viewers.
You're addicted to likes, addicted to viewers.
We're totally addicted.
It's terrible. And it's really, it's something that you see it in all the, in the firm community. It's prevalent.
Yeah.
Beyond prevalent.
Yeah.
Beyond.
I wonder if Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook for the oldies around here.
Mm-hmm.
Blackout.
Definitely Instagram. Definitely.
Blackout for the next month.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
How different
it going?
Is your life?
You would see a rise in smoking. I think you would see a rise in alcoholism. I think you would see, because it's like we say, these are vices.
So the you think that people will just go to different addictions?
They'll find different addictions. Yeah. They'll find other things.
Maybe depression would be up, anxiety would be up, suicidality would be up, or the opposite, a healthier person might be like, wow.
Right.
You know, you ever do this? You ever like have somebody sing your story and you decide that you care too much that that person sees your story, so then you block that person from seeing it because you don't want to be controlled by that name showing up. Yeah, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm. I've been there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then is it sort of like not as pleasurable to post? Even though you...
Because they now like...
Because they
don't know, see it.
You
know, yeah. Don't know you're having a better
so
life than they
So you did
are.
That to be a healthier version of yourself. It's a struggle. But that's a healthy adaptation because you realize that it means too much to you in an unhealthy
way.
Well,
can you tell that to, well, you know, yeah, I mean, tell that to like girls out there that we've dated. They do this. They block us. Yeah. Why? Why do we need to? Why?
Have they?
Well, it could be so many different reasons, but going on this, you know, thought,
yeah,
maybe they don't want to care that you're looking.
They don't want to care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't want to care that certain people are looking. So I'll block. I'm not blocking them because I don't like you. I'm blocking you because I care too much about somebody that I shouldn't care that much about.
Mm.
I shouldn't care that
so
you
see
that.
So she cares. Them. She cares about
me. I'd agree. I went on like a...
That's why I blocked you, IJ.
I've been on like a social media detox
Ooh.
For like, I don't even know. It's been like a week and a half.
What happened?
Tell us about it.
No, but you went on today.
I went on for, because I saw one thing. Mostly, okay, I haven't been spending as much time on there.
That's true.
I thought
say,
I was on
I
for
can't
that
back
much.
Him up.
Why did you...
People, it's been me, you're messaging.
Why did you decide to do the detox?
I felt like it just had too much place in my, it was like too much place in my life. Like,
exactly.
You know, if I'm at work and I'm bored and I have nothing going on, I would just hit it, like just reactively and look. And I'm like,
it's filling the empty spaces.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't need this to fill. I could find other things to take up my place.
People do that with coffee and cigarettes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
well, I went off caffeine too, but like I needed other things. It was too much at once.
You're willing to face.
Yeah.
These things
happen. Oh, and the first couple of days, right, being off caffeine, especially being off Instagram too, the first couple of days was like, hold on a second. And now it's like, it's very much second nature. It's like, hold on a second. Like, I wasn't really on that much.
Yeah.
Like, I even looked, I was spending like less than a half hour on there per day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really like 25 minutes, but it's the amount of times I would hit it just out of necessity or out of function.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, hold on, I have a brain again. Like, I can think again.
I could choose.
Things are clear. I can choose what I like to do. I can sit and watch a 3-hour movie again without having to interrupt myself.
I'm
and
proud
actually
of you,
appreciate
man.
It.
I'm happy for you. Yeah.
Reading
that's
books.
Awesome.
So here's somebody that's things. Willing to look at your life and say, what am I doing that's getting in the way of me really living the life I want to live? That what am I doing that's just me on autopilot?
It's like, where are you giving? Where are you putting your enjoyment? Is it inward? Is it in your what you produce? Or is it what you consume?
Yeah.
And if it's what you consume, then you're letting your enjoyment sort of be taken over by various other sources.
Yeah.
And that's not the type of life that you want to live. Like, at least I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there's consumption enjoyments too.
No,
you know?
Of course.
But in terms of your daily life and the things that you're doing most of the time, not the things that you're doing some of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to make sure that they're healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say, I think the people that are the least happy are the people that are just generally spending their time just consuming things that are, you know, not good for them or not good for their brain, not good for their mindset, consuming thoughts that aren't good for their mind, you know, focusing on either people who have wronged them or, you know, I know for myself, when I've been in the places that I've been at my worst in mentally, the times that I've been there have been when I was totally focused on somebody else, was just consuming my mind, like for no apparent reason.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So could we wrap this back in to talking about when you were saying about how sometimes giving up vices, like yeshiva bachrim that give up vices and then go straight into a relationship, and then the relationship becomes that type of codependent, unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
Right? So that's you sort of putting it out there that you have been in relationships that served you in unhealthy ways.
That felt, yeah, definitely was in codependent relationships.
Yeah.
Was that was one something I really had to learn is that, yeah, I can treat the relationship just like I can treat being on social media, just like I can treat like a caffeine addiction, just like I can treat, you know, a checking my email for work addiction. I can treat it in a way that like it doesn't necessarily consume my mind, or it's not something that's totally prevalent, and it doesn't impact my actions.
Let me ask you, Avery.
Yeah.
Where's that gotten you? And I know that's meaning. Like, I get that, and good for you, and it's, you know, awesome. I'm happy you had a good run.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, it's a lifetime struggle.
In relationships?
And I think for yourself also. I think you're kind of maybe overselling where...
I'll tell you where
you know,
it's...
You had that week, high five. Yeah. I had a week also. I'm not... But I want the perspective of... Because I feel like, you know, you're an open-minded fella. I'm an open-minded fella. Mm-hmm. We know you are very open-minded. Holy shit. But... What about, like, these small-minded people? Or are they small-minded? But, like, what can they do? So we have listeners, they're listening, and they're thinking, that's all nice, but I'll never go out with a guy who, like, drinks too much at Kiddush Club. I'm never going to go out with a guy who, you know, obsessed with social media, whatever it is, smoking, drinking. What can your message be to these people? You know, what could our message be? How can, you know, can we enlighten them?
Unlighten them?
Enlighten them? Well, enlighten them, unlighten, just let's say enlighten them. I don't know. Let's just say lighten them.
Reverse brainwash,
yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. Like, that's what worked. Honestly, if you think about it, that's what worked for our grandparents, that everyone smoked, everyone drank, all the vices were those were a given. No one was like, you better do, you know, stop this. You better stop that. But like, and here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Oh. Yeah. And some of the more dangerous vices are actually socially acceptable, while some that are just not so crazy.
Not so crazy.
Have a really bad rap.
Yeah.
So we need to think for ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, why do we care about this? Because society cares about this. Is there a fear? Is this behavior always indicative of that fear? We need to ask ourselves that. Right? Like, I was very clear about smoking because it grosses me out. It's not, I think most girls. Right. If it didn't gross me out, maybe I'd have the health layer on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm very health conscious. I need somebody that's in line with that because I need that. I want that.
Health conscious in that sense.
I don't want my children around that. I don't want to be around that. I've recently asked a client of mine if they don't mind not to vape on the couch during session.
Mm-hmm. That was me. I'm sorry. Strawberry banana. It's a good flavor.
That is a relationship. A relationship that I had with a client that I needed to ask them to not do something as a gift to me.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it could negatively impact my health.
Good for you. Good.
So I feel the same way in a dating relationship. I really like you. Here's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you can stop? How much of a part of your life is it? What would happen if you did stop? Would it turn into something else? Like, can we have conversations with people?
Could we
understand what's going on here? Too scared, especially if you're in the shidduch system and it's 6 dates and you're done. How long do you have to figure that out? You can't for 3 months just see how the person does off cigarettes.
Right.
Right? Yep. You don't know.
I think we're so past that, by the way, the 6 dates, you know.
Yeah, I think hopefully we're.
Especially our audience.
Yeah.
Like, but, we know.
Okay,
we,
but Ahuva, like I say, if it comes down to like, it really just comes down to everyone asking themselves, like, what do you really want to live with? Right? Like, what do you really feel before you date anyone, before you're in relationships with anything? It's really what type of life do you see yourself wanting to have? Mm-hmm. You know, like we said, like the workaholic. That can happen. If you value something and then all of a sudden you get into that relationship with said workaholic, with said learnaholic, with smokeaholic, you know, and you don't know, and then you end up in relationships that are not true to your values, and that's where the problems start to arise, right?
Definitely. And sometimes you can see that in dating and then you have to deal with that.
Right.
And sometimes they develop post-marriage mm-hmm. for different reasons.
Codependent relationships as well.
Or so, life gets yeah. difficult in certain ways, or your needs aren't being met, or you don't feel good about yourself in the parenting space, so you spend more time where you do feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So many different things. By the way, I want to say having a lot of children can also be a way to get an exemption from being a good parent.
A vice.
A good parent.
A lot of children, yeah.
Can you tell yourself that the more children
I have... Of
course
I'm a good mother. I have 10 kids, you know.
Right. Or, of course, then, you know, I can't give that to every kid.
Yeah, my mom does not have that problem. Two kids. So that's not her way of saying that she's a good mom.
And another person would maybe be a lawyer. You know, for that exemption or not. Again, all these things can come from a healthy place or an unhealthy place. We have to be very...
And it could have a... accepted positive, an accepted like outcome or a non-accepted outcome, you know?
Yeah.
Meaning like it's accepted today if you are, you know, let's just say, okay, you're, you know, your father's a workaholic, works, but like that's an addiction right there. That's his vice. It's just working. Well, you have a family, you have, you know, people. Yeah. So that, but it's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's like, not always acceptable. In another, what do you mean? It's actually lauded in the
lauded.
World.
Yeah,
look at Elon Musk.
Honorable.
Everyone goes crazy
and learning too. I mean, I learning see this also. All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Learning,
you know. I wanted to talk to my dad, but he was, you know, learning all night.
He was learning all night.
What? Your dad's learning all night? Why?
Yeah. He didn't have any time for you.
Didn't have time. I what?
And that's it. And like this girl now is going to grow up and like she needs the best learner, but like also honeymoons to Fiji.
Or might be so triggered when her husband takes out a safer for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Right. Yeah. Just like 5 minutes. Yeah.
It's like, why are you ignoring me? I'm not ignoring you.
It all comes.
This is where I'm greatly appreciative of my dad, who would, and maybe the values aren't exactly what everyone would appreciate, but like he would take me out of school sometimes. We go to like baseball games together, just like have bonding time, know?
So nice.
It was awesome. I loved it. And other kids would be like sitting there studying, like their brains out night after night, every night, like for hours upon hours a night.
Horrible.
It'd be like, oh my gosh, like I can get, you know, maybe my grades weren't as good, but a few notches below grades, have a good time, enjoy life.
Kids
and still make it
so
work.
Fast.
It's so
you have
crazy.
So few years to make that impact on your child.
Yeah, very few.
So
yeah.
few years.
The Torah talks about it. Bar mitzvah age. That's it. 12 for a girl.
And even if it's
that,
a little longer nowadays.
And those are the things that I remember.
I think that's when it's too late. Right. I think that's when it's too late. That's what I'm saying. That's when it's too late.
That's what I remember as an adult, though. I'm like, I remember when my dad took me to the baseball game.
That's amazing.
When we met this player. Nobody remembers the day that, you know, you sat and, you know, sat through a stupid class that you were miserable in. You
right.
know, anyway, like what?
Right. Or you no studied for that. Your math quiz with your dad. No one remembers that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it was.
They do.
I remember with my tutor and my butler, yes.
You not know, if it was done in an abusive way.
Exactly.
It was done in a way that is, you know, a responsible, respectful way of doing it.
Oh, I was in the resource room. I wouldn't know. Like, it was just it was special ed.
Isaac was studying.
I can relate.
Isaac was studying with Martina, his cleaning lady.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Studying is that what they call
studying.
It?
Studying.
Yes. Yeah. No, it was not Martina. It was, Angelina. Angelina. Yeah. Here. So I mean, I'll make it a little personal. Like, here's the deal. So I feel like I am a smoking libertarian, drinking libertarian. I like to indulge in all the aspects of life, all these vices and mediums that God has to offer. And you know I'm very well constrained and very well balanced, but sometimes I'll go a little bit over here, go a little bit over there, you know, or at least in my mind I think it might not even really be that much over. And it's just a shame because you have just a generation out there in Shidduchim today, these girls who are dating. Because that's who I date girls. But also I see some guys with it, you know.
You do date guys, yes.
You know, no, I don't date guys. Well, like, we'll go out, like, you know, for a steak, you know, like a bro date.
That's what
we
meant.
No, but I see it with the guys because, you know, you go to singles events, you go to these events, and you get a little keen insight in there. Mm-hmm. And there's just such a misunderstanding from their perspective of anti this stuff, you know, anti fun, in my opinion, anti fun,
anti pleasure,
pleasure. It's pleasure and it's fun. It's everything. And it just sucks because who wouldn't want, you know, like My sisters who are married, like, you know, one has a husband. She encourages him, drink, smoke, chill, go out with the guy, whatever you want to do. And, like, he's just the cleanest guy ever, you know. And she's okay with, she has to live with that. You know, I have another brother-in-law, you know, and he's partying and he's doing everything I've been saying. And she's chill with it. Because, like, at the end of the day, I promise, I know that if you end up with, you know, quote unquote, Mr. Perfect, like what you're looking for, you're just going to waive so many things. It doesn't matter. Like, this, I don't care. I don't care. Oh, he does that. You know, oh, he's a drinker. Well, you know, at least he lets me know, and I know he's got a tough childhood, problems, whatever. And those are the people who are married. That's who I see. Like, Avery sees the other half, which there are a lot out there, but the other half I see, they're married.
But that's very concerning to me, IJ.
And they're understanding.
The understanding coming from, oh, he had a tough childhood.
It's not an abusive way, and it's not in a bad way. And
that's concerning, because that's not how you deal with an abusive childhood. I'm much happier with you saying he likes to have a good time with the guys every once in a while, and he drinks.
Well, that's fine. Okay, so that's what they're saying. Yes, that's what they're saying.
I don't want to hear he had a tough childhood. I get that he drinks.
They don't
no.
say that. They don't say that. They would never say that. And who would? But they know that. They know, okay, yeah, look, I get it. Like, he had an issue with that. Like, this guy, you know, there's a guy I go to for Shabbos a lot, and he gets very high, you know, likes to hit the bong. And I don't know. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. But, like, the wife she gets it. So this guy's stressed, the job. And she looks at it just like that. Like, you know, I'm happy he can have a nice time. Of course, when I go to a wedding and they're there, he's sober. You know, he's sobered up, this guy. But, yeah, when it's Shabbat, they want to chill. And I think it's prevalent. I mean, I go away a lot. I see it in a lot of people's houses.
It's very prevalent. And, again, is it adding to your enjoyment of life?
Right. Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Or is it getting in the way?
Some family, sometimes I see the girls, like, very just really, oh, my God. Like, we know someone.
Mm-hmm.
We know someone who's had that, and, like, she's like, all right, I'm figuring, and she had to figure it out, and she's like, no more parties, no mm-hmm. more this, and she handled it, and the poor guy, like, I feel like, no, like, he's suffering from it.
Yeah, that's absolute wrong way to deal with that.
It's not the relationship that I would want to have.
It's not
the
right way. We know that. Yeah. We talk, but
my question to him would be, like, let's bring him into the room right now, right?
Bring him in right now.
So what's going on, Jimmy?
Not Jimmy. We have a friend, Jimmy, actually. So
Friday afternoon.
Let's say Sean. We don't have a friend, Sean. Yeah. Shawnee.
So Friday afternoon, you're getting home from work, little hectic in the house. You go shower, you get ready for Shabbos, and you take a hit because, why? Be Sean. Because
it's quick, and, like, you know, like, you need it. You need it.
Because it becomes
which
that.
I don't like. I don't like
no,
that.
No, what are you reaching for? For what?
A quick fix.
What are you fixing?
Oh, a what? Just, let's say, you know, he needs a hit.
For what?
The relationship stress.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. Parenting stress.
It's very
the parental
right
transition.
Now?
I mean,
transitioning from my work week into my home space.
I mean, that's what it'd be for me.
Over
the
a weekend.
But I don't do that.
Without TV and Netflix and phone or whatever. This is going to be stressful.
Well, I don't even think that. Mostly being with the family. That's what I see.
Feeling over demanded, I think, is something.
Feeling over demanded.
Ooh, I like that.
You're in demand.
Yeah. So if you're high, it's like, oh, he's high. It
doesn't matter.
Right. First of all, because you don't care. Like,
you now have
chill.
Control over what you feel like people have control over you.
Right.
In the other sense, could it be a boss?
Right.
Could it be a wife?
Right.
Could it be manipulative parents? Could it be your children? Those things can have control. And we've all seen it, right? Have control over your actions. Yeah. Boss, crazy boss.
Yeah.
I have to work till 10 o'clock.
So you're high. So what happens to people's demands of you? Is it that you don't care that they're being so demanding? Mm-hmm. Or it's that they're excusing you because you're high, so there's less demand?
I think it's they don't care.
They don't care.
They just don't care as much.
Okay, so basically, instead of saying instead of sitting down with your wife on a quiet Tuesday afternoon after the kids are in bed and saying, listen, finding it really hard transitioning from my work week into the, like, chaotic stress of that, like, Erev Shabbos Friday, like, demands on me. Mm. Could we talk that out?
Yeah.
Okay, so and I'm a living example of that because I have Erev Shabbos trauma. I'm an Erev Shabbos trauma survivor.
Shabbos anxiety. I was just explaining it to a conference. I was telling a conference.
I am not anxious.
Okay.
Erev Shabbos was always like, Shabbos is coming.
Yeah.
Everybody's running. There's a way we were raised. And you have to do things. And did you do all your things? And running in the shower. And there's no hot water. And what do you, why didn't you shower? Now I have to shower.
Yeah. You had a lot of sisters, okay. I remember, right?
Oh, my. Said that. I don't know if my mother was anxious. My mother probably had the anxiety, which led to my trauma.
That's where it was. Like,
you understand? Her anxiety traumatized me.
Yeah. She traumatized
me. And my mom deals with her anxiety. Sorry. Hi, Mom. By getting really busy. So she wants everyone else to get very busy with her, and I don't want to get very busy.
Did you put the soup up? Right. Take the garbage out.
And I can't handle that. I want to go into my room and lock the door and never come out because of that energy. Okay.
Oh my God.
So if I had edibles back then, I'd probably be popping them because I can't deal with this.
If you had a cell phone back then.
Right.
Which you did not.
But guess what? I'm an adult now and I still have some remnants of this trauma. And guess what I have done? I mean, some of Holy Shits might know this because I'm always living my way home from work literally 5 minutes before Lech Ben. I come into my house from my practice at candlelight because I have Erev Shabbos trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way that I've adapted my life, is that I work up until this month.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And I don't have to.
You're being proactive. No, yeah, 100%.
Is that unhealthy? 100%. We can take a look. I would
jump in. I respect. I'm happy you could talk about it. Yeah, effing kidding me. I would have rather my parents, sisters, siblings do that.
Right, then torture everyone, right?
Because I was tortured. Yeah.
Right, or I could come home at
kids running around the house.
Or I can come home at 2 p.m.
Oh, my God.
And make myself a gin and tonic so that I can deal with the rest of my afternoon.
Right. Oh, my God, yeah.
So do you see how we can choose how to adapt?
And what's tough is that you try to speak to the small-minded in this area, and, you know, it is tough to approach them because I've told them, like, hey, you got to calm down. Like, you know, especially now, because I'm at a stage where, you know, all my siblings are married and they have spouses.
Yeah.
And nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
I feel like.
So it was a few weeks ago. My body belonged to the IJ fam, you know, Shabbos reunion.
Yeah.
I did very similar. Like, I came back as late as I could.
Just relax.
And after the shower, I went into my room. Headphones went on. Mm-hmm. I set a timer. Mm-hmm. I'm in, you know, 2 minutes before Shabbos.
For you and I was like, children, I can't handle this. The best thing would have been to be like Kevin in Home Alone. Mm. Like, everyone runs around, goes crazy. Yeah, and you just left. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like, quiet. It's fine. Like, Kevin, and you just have the best time.
Yeah.
Don't even. My message to the singles out there, to the shids, to our shids, like, don't let Yiddishkeit or morals or whatever get in the way of trying to fix or treat this, like, traumatic, emotional, you know, problem that you can trace your vice to.
Exactly.
Trace your trigger to.
Exactly.
Don't. The way to start, and any Rav will tell you, I've been to Rebbeim about certain problems like this, certain issues, and they say, you start with the training wheels on. You start with you get a rebirth. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pretend you're, you know, 5 years old now, and we're going to work your way up.
Yeah. And, you know, as I'm talking, I think you're helping me clarify this, guys. Like, if I can say to my husband, listen, I am realizing something about myself. When I'm home on Erev Shabbos, I am super triggered and anxious.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing it's because of how it used to be in my house. So let's work that out. Like, should I come home later?
Yeah.
Like, should we get extra help on Fridays? Should we schedule our, like, the stuff that needs to get done for Shabbos? Should we schedule that on a different day, not Friday? If you can find the source, talk it out with a partner, and come to a resolution together, then whatever you decide to do in order to tackle that is healthy generally.
If you
don't know why you're doing that and you can't talk to your partner about that, and you're sort of just unconsciously drugging this feeling that you don't want to approach in any way, whether it's staying at work too late, drinking, smoking, pornography, whatever your thing is, Starbies, being a label whore, shopping too much.
But we're talking, let me tell you, we're also talking to the people out there who maybe don't have a thing. and give that guy, give that girl an opportunity. And yeah, be the savior. Be the savior.
Right. So what's up with
that? That's the one thing that the Shadchan would all, don't be a savior. F that. Be a savior because you're going to find an amazing person behind that, those troubles.
Be a listener.
Listener, yeah.
You don't have to even save the guy.
You don't have, but by save, by listening.
Save yourself by giving guys an opportunity to present what they're doing and you figure out, are they, is it a treat or a treatment?
Yeah.
I think a guy smoking a cigar is hot. I think it's good energy, good masculine energy.
I'll put it out. I'll push it even further. Thank you. But I'll push it even further. Like, I will tell you, I was seeing a girl and this was a very, exactly what you said, traumatically brought on thing. Not with smoking, actually, but with the vaccine, you know? And let me tell you, like, we tried talking it out. We did, we tried, but, like, I look back at it and I said, you know, wow, like, I know that I could have handled it differently. I think she could have handled it differently, but as this, as, like, the partner, you know, the spouse, the partner, like, the girl at the time was the one who's struggling with it. And that's something that I relate to these other vices we're talking about. What was she struggling with? Oh, like everyone needed to get vaxxed and, you know, she'll shoot anyone up. she'll And you know, I was like a little hesitant, you know.
And then you're like, hit me, baby, one more time.
No, literally. And like, I did. I like, let's talk about this.
I could relate to that because.
Let me in.
Yeah.
What is it? And it's such a different, but. Both parties have to consent. Is it? That's it. Like,
yeah, to anything.
You can't. You just don't block it out. Don't be stupid. And I will apologize to myself at least, and just say, you know what? Like, maybe I should have had a little bit more care. I think I did, but more, even more crazy because, like, that's what we're saying here. What's the alternative? The alternative is you staying single, is you being alone, is you dying alone. Avery's couch with the cats.
Dying alone. That's the name of one of my WhatsApp chats. You're going to die alone.
Probably going
And let's just be real. Like, everybody has something. So find out what that something is and see if you could deal with it.
I agree. So we're going to get to our closing. I have this great video I just want to play. It's like a quick minute. Okay.
Smoking.
This is between this is between the Lakewood Shadchanim. Okay. This is the big OGs right here. And let's see a little bit what they say. Let's drive in.
Something that that people care about here.
So I tell you, I grew up, you know, my father smoked. I'm still a little older,
the liquid
so I'm
right
still
here.
Part of the generation that all our, a lot of our rabbis smoked and a lot of our parents smoked. You know, by us it was always normal.
How old are you, Rabsadik? You're not that old.
I'm in my mid-40s, and I, you know, so to me, I didn't. You know, it was always a healthy outlook. I mean, a healthy. Outlet a little bit, if you want to call it healthy and
healthy outlet.
It's it's. I'm not like
I'm
so
with this
up
guy.
With it. There are people that are very hyper about it. Most boys in America do stop if they get married. Therefore, I advise people not to make this thing about it. If it's a boy that he needs his pack a day and
this whole thing is
not,
ridiculous. How dare you? I'm sorry.
If he's married, that could be a problem. But most boys that when they're a bachur, they smoke. They're not just roll. They're in
the bachur smokes 3-4 cigarettes a day. The college side asks you if you smoke. So are you gonna? What are you gonna say?
I mean, I would say he's a healthy guy. He'll take a cigarette when he needs it, and I'll say the other way: a boy that never took
that's
a cigarette.
You. That's
means
you.
He's
this guy knows. This is you.
Chasaron.
This is
absurd. Not a Milo.
It's a chasaron.
You know,
it's a chasaron.
You know, and all your friends are smoking.
By the way, I never took a cigarette in my life.
Neither did I.
Okay.
Well, you're a weirdo.
IJ, what's not being said in this video? Let me see if you guys can join me here.
I love it.
Yeah.
Avery.
Yeah.
What is not being said in this video explicitly? What is not being said?
I mean, they're not talking about any reasons behind why these kids are smoking, and they're not talking about anything.
Why would they say that most Bachurim stop smoking once they get married? What are they not saying? Come on, bring
they're
it.
They're nervous about dating.
Nope.
No.
They're smoking because they're sexually married. Deprived.
That's true too.
Sexual frustration. That's what, why are you laughing? That's exactly what they're saying in the video. If marriage takes away the need to smoke, what's being added to their life besides stress?
A different addiction.
Sex. Mm-hmm. So they're smoking because they are single guys, right, and they're not they're not getting their sexual needs met. So what are they supposed to do? So that's a healthier alternative than sleeping around or pornography or this or that, whatever. That's exactly what they're saying. Might they be right? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The cacophony
sounds ridiculous. I don't think they're lying about what the person smokes, how much he smokes or doesn't smoke, and asking, being asked about it in shidduchim is a nice, a proper way to send off people.
Yeah, it goes underground after marriage, maybe.
Yeah.
Bachurim stop smoking, maybe. It's true. There could be there. Listen, I married a guy that stopped smoking.
But he was a bachur, no? He was
24.
But he was, you know, from that, you know, Illinois, right? And it's a bachur town.
They stopped smoking. He wasn't. The double life with their family in Mexico begins.
Yeshiva. But anyway, I was just saying.
No, he wasn't a yeshiva bachur, but that happened to me. So I can't make so much fun about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a living, you know, example of that happening.
My dad, my dad was a smoker, and my mom didn't know.
And how did that work?
And that's why
once he quit,
that's
the way it came on. You know, like
if anyone wanted the why, that's
But like, listen, you know, let's see what everyone has to say about this. I mean, it's obviously a hot topic. People are going to have different angles about it.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about how to get married, how to not let your, you know, preconceived notions about certain things that are labeled okay or not okay, bad or good, kosher or not kosher, to think for yourself and to not be scared to visit these type of conversations with somebody that you like to get to the bottom of it and to see if there's a different way that it could be worked out. Where's it coming from? And if the person has a healthy perspective on it. I personally like somebody that knows how to enjoy themselves. I want a very fun, exciting, pleasurable life. And if a guy doesn't know how to enjoy themselves, that's going to suck for me. Do I want them drugging themselves with anything because they're not confronting something else? No.
Aside from your love?
Exactly.
That's it.
Aside from our love, I know. On that note, speaking about love, it's time for, you know, this love fest here to part.
I have a great song for to end off with.
Yeah, we do. What's that? So, you know, we're going to get to our ending in just a moment here.
I thought that was the ending.
No, it's a prelude
into the pre-ending.
Hey yo, episode 62 is in the books. I wanted to thank Avery and I wanted to thank Ahuva, Holy Shid, for coming on. It was
thank yourself, you know that.
What? What happened?
Thank yourself.
Thank myself.
And thank you, Avery and I.
Thank you. Thank you.
But it's okay. We'll leave the third person stuff.
Well, yes, yes. what's going on here? I'm like texting my mother, and I'm and my boss is emailing me. Anyway, 62 in the books. Maroon 5 for you. Holy Shid. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for being real.
Thanks for wearing your Shid merch.
I got the Shid merch. Everyone buy this hat. It's I'm not kidding you. It's
hot.
An amazing hat. And I went to Israel. Girls were like, oh my God.
Really?
They're like, Monsieur,
Shouldn't I have put like one of those like barcode? What are they called? The square ones nowadays?
Where you can, barcode.
Barcode on the back. So anyone who sees it can just sort of like take a picture of it from the back and it'll be
Gen,
like, boom.
Gen 3.
Okay, next edition, like second edition. It's having a barcode on the back.
Yes.
Or maybe your bio should show up when they scan your barcode.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So, you could follow this lovely lady here at holy_shid. _ You can follow me _ no underscore. That's just hijack. Okay, as I end off, happy face, smiley face, silly face. This is a Nobody Talk Shidduchim podcast.
Smoking face.
Alchi's Media Network.